Are you stuck at home in lockdown? Yeah, I know, we all are. Don't worry, we've got you covered, because it's time once again for Live at Night with Pete Ferrero, where whatever happens, happens. Now, along with his special guests, here is your host, Pete Ferrero.
All right, guys, hey, I think we're live. We're fine. We're live on Facebook right now. This is Live at Night with Pete, and I am joined by some alcoholics. No. Industry experts, right, in the wine and cocktail world. I'm going to introduce first Sandra, and then she's going to say how she knows everybody, and she's going to introduce everybody else. So let's go. Sandra Zadi, right? Did I get that
Hello.
Right?
Hello. Hi, everyone. Peter, thank you so much for having me. We finally are meeting.
We've been
for years now. I'm excited that we're meeting under these unusual
virtually. Circumstances. Yeah, absolutely.
Virtually under these unusual circumstances. Anyway, I asked two of my good girlfriends to join in tonight, some fellow wine aficionados, Angela DeLuca Wright. We met, Angela, I think we met like 5 years ago, or somewhere around there, 5 or 6 years ago. Obviously, you know, Peter, part of what I do is events. I travel around, I'm that crazy wine entertainer, educator, schmoozer. I run around spreading my passion about wine.
Right.
So I met Angela at one of my events. We hit it off. We became friends. Fast forward years later, now we do a lot of work together. A lot of events I do are with wines she represents, and we became friends, and I love her. She's great.
So
she's the best.
Before you get into Eva and Angela, what do you do in the industry? What is you have a wine or yeah?
Well,
before we do that, let's cheers each other because we want to drink. Yeah, and we'll get into what we're all drinking, but cheers. Yeah.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers to Thursday. It's Thursday, right?
I think so. Yeah. Well, that's good. All right.
Ish. So I'm trying to figure out how to. The first thing I want to do is share the link.
Yeah. You guys should all do that. Absolutely. Yeah.
How do we do that? So I'm just going to say share.
Just go to my face. Are we friends on Facebook now? Yeah.
I hope we're friends on Facebook.
We're all friends on Facebook now, I think. Maybe. Or Sandra can share it, and then you guys can share Sandra's link. Either way.
Yeah, but I'm not tech savvy. So, oh, here we go. Share. There we
yeah,
go.
Yeah, it's just literally a button that says share. By the way, the share button has been on Facebook since it was the Facebook.
So it's not a new feature. Isn't that terrible? I don't know this. Like, Peter, just a little FYI. I have ADD, OCD. I got a little do re mi and ABC.
There you go.
So I just hit right post, right?
Yes, I like that you're bringing all the alphabetic stuff. And this is what I'm drinking. I don't know if you could see it.
All right.
Yeah. From Chile. Yeah.
Cheers. I'm happy you're drinking some wine. Good.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Go ahead.
So, sorry.
Yeah.
I guess Sandra now needs to tell us how she knows Eva.
Well, did you say, I don't know if you answered what you're doing in the industry and all that stuff.
Okay. So right now I am, not going anywhere.
Yeah.
So at the moment, we're taking a break. But when I do work, I am working. I work for a company called Martine's Wines.
And okay. Yeah.
Importer, mostly French, and it's Martine's was started 40 years ago by this legendary French woman, and she does. You know,
I've heard of it. Yeah, I'm fascinated by it. Yeah, absolutely. And Eva, well, what are you doing in this industry? And then also, Sandra will say how she met you and all that.
Yes. So I know these women because I also work for a wine importer. I work for Bonhomie Wine Imports. We're based here in South Orange, New Jersey. I ran a store in the city for 8 years before I became a mom. So I met Charlie, who owns Bonhomie, and bought a lot of wine from the book then. And when I came back to work after doing the stay-at-home mom thing for a few years, I came back doing sales for Bonhomie.
Oh, that's awesome. Very cool. Yeah. Now, Sandra, how did you meet her?
Through Angela, right, Angela?
I think so.
Yeah.
Part Instagram, part Angela, part just the industry doing events, but Eva, we met like what, a year ago, year and a half ago, something like that?
Yeah, probably around that time. Yeah, since I've been I've been doing sales for about 2.5 years now in New Jersey. So yeah, just kind of meeting each other through different stores. And then Angela introduced us in person, and that's been a lot of fun.
All right. So first, we
had a legendary ladies' lunch that day.
Lunch at Benito's. Benito's, Donnie, we love you. Shout out to Benito's and Union.
Very cool. Also, shout out to Leah Gashion, right? Because we love her and know her. Yeah, she's an awesome person. I invited her. She said she's beat, bro. And I was like, okay, that's Leah talk. So,
yeah. Leah, we love you.
Yeah,
next time.
Definitely.
So I do a lot of events. I do are with Angela's Wines and Eva's Wines, and we have this similar Jersey girl. What's the word I'm looking for? We're just all the same. We got along. We clicked immediately. We got along well, right?
That's cool.
Excellent chemistry.
Wait, so, Eva, you're not from Jersey, are you?
No, can't really claim the Jersey girl thing. I'm raising one Jersey girl out of my two. So,
funny. So I've been asking everybody to start off just to talk a little bit about what's going on with this coronavirus and how it's affecting your worlds and just in home life, how you're getting through some of that, but also the industries that you're in and events and the wine companies, how has that changed anything for you guys? So let's just start with Angela, actually. Personally, how is it affecting you? And then get into the wine thing too.
The main effect is that I'm not currently working. I mean, my company is like, they had to pare down for a little bit, and hopefully I'll be back in a few weeks and everything will be, hunky dory. But for right now, it took me out of the game, which, really sucks.
Yeah.
But, luckily, friends and family, everybody, coworkers are all staying healthy. That's the most important part. Just stay healthy and we'll figure the rest out, so it's
that's tough. I mean, I can't imagine this effect this way, because and I noticed it for restaurants too. It's like the last thing that these restaurant owners want to do is ever do anything to jeopardize their relationships with their chefs and their sous chefs and everybody that works for them. So I'm sure the company that's working for you feels horrified that they would have to even address this and have this happen,
No question. Yeah. It took everybody by surprise. And, but I think, we're all just, doing the best we can, keeping our heads in the game and, staying in touch, checking in with each other, like every day, every other day, which is great. And, it just kind of is keeping us all sane and keeping things in perspective, like we're all safe at home. And, one of the things that I appreciated very much, very like early on was, my company said, look, please do not leave the house on our behalf.
Yeah.
Just like, that was really great. Like, I felt like, yeah, that's, they're looking out for me. In the meantime, I am, safe at home with really, really good wine. So,
Real quick, too, guys, what is everybody drinking? Before we jump into all the other questions, what are you drinking? I showed you what I was drinking here. I'm drinking this wine from Chile. It's this Pinot Noir. It's fucking amazing. I don't know if you guys know it.
Wine daily?
Do I drink wine daily? Yes. Sometimes beer, though, if I'm in boring mode. Yeah.
Boring mode. Yeah. Angela, what are you drinking?
I am drinking a 2016 Bernard Bergot Côte Rôtie. So, there's one of those things where it was a sample and there was a Corvin. And so it was like down to here. And I had already shown it to many customers. And it, I can't work. It's not going to keep forever. Yeah. So.
How's it drinking?
Gorgeous, just absolutely gorgeous. So Côte Rôtie, it's Northern Rhone, 100% Syrah. This producer makes one wine. A lot of Côte Rôtie producers make, they'll make a Reserva, they'll make a higher end and, entry level and all, but this is it. They make this one wine. Also, a lot of Côte Rôtie producers will put some Viognier in the mix to add, aromatics. And this, they do not do this, they do not do that. They have just, if you talk to the man who makes this wine, his rows in the vineyards are all the best. And they just do a really beautiful job. And is 2019 is the first vintage, is his last vintage. 2020 will be the first vintage that his son Pierre will be taking over. And I had the great good fortune to meet them in France in 2018, and they were just lovely, lovely people. And I think the wines are beautiful. And they're very, he studied in Burgundy. So these are very elegant Côte Rôtie. It's not, it doesn't hit you over the head. They're not nice. Super jammy, giant, concentrated, nothing like that. Like these are just really elegant. They're beautiful.
Yeah.
I'll stop now.
Eva, what are you drinking?
I'm going for my Desert Island wine, which is white Burgundy.
Nice. Mm. Wow. Applause, people. I mean, if someone applauds, I always applaud as well. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. You know, Chardonnay.
When there's applause, I'm all in about it. So go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. Moissonnet Bonnard, they're a producer in Pommard that we represent, but this is from a little half hectare Ludit, Les Chazeaux. Mm-hmm. Down in the alluvial plains.
Nice.
Yeah, just some tasty Chardonnay.
Very cool. Sandra, what do you got?
That's fabulous as what the girls are drinking. So a little context, I'm in Naples, Florida. I've been here for a month. My son was on spring break the first week of March. So we came down here and like 5 days later, the world went kind of crazy, obviously, as we know. So we decided to just hunker down with my parents here, and it's been pretty much a month now. So pickings are a little slim in the, with the vino selection here in Naples. Yeah. That being said, I don't know what took me so long, but I finally had Cambridge Wines in Morristown. It's the retail space I deal with, and I do events. I used to do a ton of events for. I'm like, you guys need to ship me a case. I thought it would be here for today, and I'm super bummed because I chose wines from Angela and Eva's, and I'm bummed it's not here. It's coming tomorrow. Did you need to know all of that? No. So in the meantime, I made my favorite. So just a little, so this is full disclosure here.
Okay.
I'm a lightweight. As much Same. As I drink, I'm a lightweight. So yeah. I want to be that girl that could smoke a cigar and have a bourbon and
I love it.
Proper and like shots of whatever. I can't do it. When that happens, I'm on the ground like a mess. So my only liqueur I can do, well, two, Aperol or Campari, which are both from the Veneto region in Italy, which is, you know, I'm Italian, if you can't tell. My parents
I love it.
My parents are born in
Campari. Your hand motions alone let us know that you're Italian.
I used to work at the wine library in Springfield, and I would make videos, and they would like record just, they would send me little like fast videos of my hands. And I said to myself, I would stop, and I can't stop. Like, I just don't know how to stop.
I'm with you. It's a problem.
Aperol. It's a little bit of Aperol, Prosecco, a little club, some orange slices. It's just super refreshing. It's really aperitivo. So I should be drinking this prior to my meal, but this is my go-to cocktail if I can't have the wine I want. But tomorrow nice. I'll have wine. Anyway, it's super delicious and yummy.
How do you know Paul Anthony? I know him as Paul Anthony the DJ.
How do you know Paul?
Well, I've shot a lot of weddings, and Paul, you know, is a DJ in the wedding business. So we run into each other a lot. We became very good friends through the years. I love doing work with him whenever I see him. How do you know Paul?
He's
your first
cousin.
You said first cousin.
First cousin. So my dad, Luigi, and his mom, Concetta, are brother and sister. Nice. So his mom is a Zadi. So we're first cousin. Paul was, he's the best. So
you've known Paul your whole life?
Yeah, he's my first cousin. He was always like doing music for us.
Okay.
Always like perfectly, the guy
always me. Perfect hair, always.
Do you know my cousin, Angela and Eva, Paul?
I no? don't think I know Paul, but I have to this say, is, I love
this is now kid. Turned into a Paul Anthony request and dedication show. No.
And the guy reverts every year. He gets younger and younger. He dresses, he looks great all the time. And he's just, he's got a great DJ entertainment business. Yeah, I wanted him to jump in tonight, but he said,
He's writing messages. So he's around. Uh-oh. Yeah. So I'm going to send him the link again and say, well, he has the link. Paul, you have the link from a day ago for another event you skipped. That's the same link. Just click it and join us. If you surprise us, that would be amazing. Okay. So I'm sorry. Let's go to Eva on the coronavirus, how it's affecting you and even the company that you work for.
Well, I mean, I guess personally, it's keeping me at home, obviously, with the rest of my family. My husband's working at home. Fortunately, my husband and I are both able to work from home. So we still have jobs, which is something we feel very fortunate about.
Yes.
Our oldest is in first grade, so e-learning for that is not too challenging, but she's doing school at home, and we have a four-year-old who is happy to just be home playing with her toys all day. So it's just a house full of action. But yeah, I guess business-wise, I mean, thankfully, as much as I have worked to gain more and more restaurant accounts, I do have primarily retail accounts. So the good thing is that they are busy because people are home and drinking wine. Mm-hmm. We've definitely lost a lot of restaurant business, especially in the city, because we do primarily sell. I mean, yeah, Jersey's a market for us, but we are definitely more focused on New York City, I feel like, most of the time. But yeah, I guess it's been a lot of several months, though, of some unknowns and a little bit of insecurity because of European wines leading up to this. So there was kind of already that unknown and the stress of all that. And we were kind of figuring out how to finally navigate that. And then this hit. It's just, you know, this just adds back in a lot of that unknown stress of are we going to stay busy and are we going to keep selling wine? And, you know, we've set up some relief ideas as far as wines we're selling this month to donate the profits back to support restaurants that are out of work right now. So that's something I think we feel is very important to try to keep these people making some money somehow before we can all hopefully reopen their doors again.
Yeah.
So that's been a big part of it. But if there was any way we could get the tariffs put on hold right now, that would allow us more profit to be able to donate back to some of our clients.
Sure.
And so, yeah, I guess there's still a lot going on several different levels right now.
Now, let me ask you a question. You said that you used to have a store, right? For 8 years in the city. Are you friendlies with people that have stores, and what's happening with them? I mean, liquor stores are open, right? So they should be. I know I'm there all the time, so I'm sure they're doing okay. Yes, sir. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been, you know, there was a lot of kind of emergency buying right at the beginning, so it was a lot more than a lot of stores could handle right off the bat.
Fair enough. Okay.
And then at the same time trying to protect themselves and their staff, a lot of adjustments have been made. There are still stores that are allowing people to come in, maybe in more limited numbers, but a lot of people have had to scramble to figure out how to set up delivery plans and put together orders in the store that people can pick up. They're working really hard, I think, to keep everybody with what they need, but it's overwhelming.
Yeah, I can imagine. Now, Sandra, how about you? Were you in Florida when this all broke, or did you fly? Tell me what happened.
Actually, before I do that, there's someone who's pressing their face against the window here. Okay. So before I tell you my story, there's someone who's dying to join in and say a quick hello.
Hello.
So then I'll tell you my story. Come in and you can say hi. You can say hello.
Hi, before I go to bed, I'd like to take a shot.
This might be that lower. This is my father, Luigi. Wait, Daddy.
That's your secret, not to get sick.
Only a little shot.
not too big, like this.
That's perfect. Yeah. Cheers, Luigi. Cheers. Yeah. Hello. Happiness and health.
He has a shot in a beer cup.
I love it.
Is that every night?
We're all winning. Yeah.
It's brandy in it. That's his secret to sanitizing his insides. That's a
Salute.
Salute.
Salute,
Hello. Happiness and great health, Luigi. Yes, absolutely. Cheers, guys. Cheers. Yes.
Cheers. He's been waiting. He's had his face like a kid pressed against the window, the screen right there.
I love it.
So anyway, yeah, I got to Naples the first week of March. My son was on spring break. And I don't know if I would have ever gotten on the plane if I knew what was going to go down, you know, what how the world is today.
When did when did you travel?
The first week of March. First week in March.
So now, now the coronavirus thing is sort of like bubbling. It's not a thing yet, but it's rumor, innuendo in other places, you know, so it's a matter of time. But you still were like, fuck it, we're going.
Well, yeah. So obviously it was totally bubbling in Italy and China, obviously. But when we got on the plane, I'm looking around. I'm like, shit, there's a lot of masks here. I'm like, and the plane was packed, not at one empty seat. But the first few days we were in Sanibel. So Sanibel is an island like less than an hour away. You would not know there was any virus there. People were out partying, dinners, pools are packed. Each day we'd watch and listen and we're like, fuck, like, can I curse? This is not a family friendly program.
No, I curse all the time. I'm like, I try to count how many times I cursed and it's good. Yeah. Wine is now going. Let's do it.
Need to drop the first F-bomb.
I did.
You did the first episode?
I did, but you did. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. But now that's good. Like, I love it.
Yeah. There we go. Now the show started.
Anyway, in Sanibel, I'm like, fucking shit. What is going on? Like, we're looking at the news every day. So, and then a few days passed. We drove to my parents in Naples, and I was supposed to come back May 18th, 19th. And I'm like, come back to what? So my son started remote learning here 2 weeks ago. My parents have this place. It's their second home in Naples. And so we basically get up, work out, cook, eat, drink. He goes to school. It's gorgeous out. But I miss home. I just don't know when I want to come back. I'm so undecided.
There's no rush.
No rush.
The world is shut down here.
And I have no business right now. So my business is the entertaining business. It's, you know, putting on events, whether it's for 3 people or for 400 people. Mm-hmm. So I have nothing at all. All my events are obviously canceled.
So did you cancel your events or did you postpone your events?
It just naturally just got canceled. So I had events. I was flying back March 19th actually to do 3 events, that Friday, Saturday, and I believe Monday. And then I was starting right back again, but everything obviously got canceled in New Jersey. I mean, you can't go out and socialize and nowhere. And honestly now, I have events planned for April, which are canceled. Even May, they're getting canceled. And quite honestly, we're not even all like the companies that I'm planning events for, one specific law firm, I do a lot of their own private events. We're not even looking at starting our first event until August. Just think about it, even if we go back to normal in like a month or two, will you really want to be in a gathering with like 50
people? And I shoot a lot of weddings and events, social events as well. And I obviously had everything postponed. So it was like one day, like probably around the same week that you decided to get on a plane, I was like, dude, my April and March is fucking incredible. This is going to be a great couple of months. A lot of great things happening. And everything shifted like boom, 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 you know, and now May is starting to shift too. And you're right. So what is the date that everybody can say, okay, I'm going to hang out with 100 people in a room? I don't know if it's coming anytime soon. What was that?
What do you think?
2021.
Yeah. I thought you said like May 12th. I was like, oh fuck. She knows the date.
Watch out. Here comes Angela's real talk.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. Bring real talk.
Yeah. 100 people? I think so too. I think you're right.
And I've had a lot of events switch to next year.
Switch to next year. How about your weddings and stuff?
It's fine. Like, I mean, like I said, they're postponed to them. I'm not, you know, I'm going to eventually collect the you know, what the payments and all that stuff, but it is fucked up. Absolutely. You know, and I feel bad for the couples. I feel bad for their families that have been planning this what out probably 2 years, sometimes in advance. There's a couple I have that's 2.5 years in advance that was getting married in April. And now has to move to next April. Outrageous. It's outrageous. But I mean, it's the world that we're, you know, currently cohabiting.
Again, Everybody stay healthy. We'll figure the rest out later.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. When it comes to stuff like that, you just want to know that, like, grandma's going to be at your wedding.
That's right.
Well, and you want her to be healthy, because if you bring grandma to your wedding now, that's not going to be good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
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 Like, I literally shot a wedding a couple of months. I shot one on the 14th of March, and grandma was there. And I was like, why is she here? You know what I mean? Like, this is not a good, you know, and hopefully, and God willing, everybody's good at that from that wedding. They were a great couple. I realized that we were live, so I had to immediately shift. Like, I thought we were just hanging out at the bar chatting. But, you know, so, you know, I think there, it was a beautiful event.
Yeah.
Yeah. It wound up being amazing. Yeah. So awesome.
Yeah. So wait, I wanted to say one thing you were saying to Eva before, like, you're talking about the wine stores and.
Yes.
So,
correct.
You know, Cambridge Wines, who I do a lot of stuff for, and even Ian at Zachy's, like, everyone, they said they are as busy now as they are, like, Christmas time.
Oh, yes.
What are people doing? We're all staying home. I have not drank one day the last month. Have you drank every night?
Every day. Outrageous. Right?
Off because the first, like, 4 days, I was so overwhelmed and went so hard that by the Monday after that, my stomach was like, you cannot do this every single day.
You take days off?
I had to. My body was like, no. You're not going back to a bottle a day every day. Like, that cannot happen.
Listen, a lot of people, when this virus hit and everybody was in panic, the first few days, people ran to the grocery store. The smart ones went to their liquor store, right? We knew. Fucking hunkered in for some time. And I'm not fucking around here, you know?
Right.
That was the first place I went and bought bottles of wine, beers, everything that you can imagine, like it was the grocery store. So we're good. But I mean, now I'm running out of everything because that, like you said, I've been drinking every day. So things are going and whatnot. So now to each of you. Okay. I'm a person that is shopping tomorrow and I'm going to put my mask and my gloves on. Right.
Yes.
And I'm going to stay 6 feet apart from everybody, but I need new ideas. I need to come get some new wines. I need some new cocktail ideas. I need some beer. Tell me, you need probably not beer, but tell me about the cocktails and wines that I'm going to go with, and we're going to start with Eva.
Ooh, okay. Well, I think exciting things to try. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Peak Pool de Panay going into spring, a light, zesty white from the south of France. I think you're going to definitely need to stock up on some of those because it's going to warm up one of these days, and it's affordable, and it's super crisp and super refreshing. Of course, you know, some white Burgundy and some Beaujolais would be definitely something I would recommend. Some Gamay, some light chillable red. I mean, though, I would say, just find some new light chillable reds and some refreshing whites.
I love that. Angela, what you got for us?
So,
what would you do? Where's the carriage going first? I imagine there's a carriage. The shopping cart.
Sanitized.
It's sanitized, like you said. You used it.
Yes, definitely. So I, you know, like my desert island. I mean, I changed careers and, you know, gave up, a lot to do this, right? And so to me, it was all.
What was it that you were doing beforehand? I'm sorry, I have to know.
I was in IT. I was associate director IT for Whole Foods Market. I was there for 9.5 years.
So one day you woke up and said, that's the end of that IT shit. I want to get involved in wines. I love wines. It's a part of my body. It's my soul. So yeah. So you gave up some shit for this.
I did. Yeah. And it was really so that I could drink Burgundy. So, you know, like, yeah. So to me, like desert island, like that's, I need red, white Burg, like, you know, so that's first. Now for springtime, I definitely some Muscadet, like a really, a lovely Muscadet. If you're lucky enough to be an oyster person, have good access to those, you know, Muscadet is going to treat you right for that. But really, champagne, man.
Fuck yeah.
It's just really good fucking champagne, you know?
Right.
And that's like, I just like with a giant pile of French fries or like the most perfect kettle chips and, you know, like yes. a good bottle of champagne. And that's what I want. Or I do like a rosé champagne with like creamy buttery cheeses and fruit and a rosé champagne. Like I'm just, you know, that's that.
If really I could break the 6 feet rule and hang out with one person, it would be you.
I would bring the good shit.
That sounds like some really
same.
Good shit.
I actually feel exactly the same. Not wanting it to be Angela to hang out with.
Oh, and I imagine there's cheese somewhere, so it's fine.
I'm at home, so I can kiss my hands.
There you go. Okay, Sandra, where are you moving the shopping cart?
Okay.
Clearly, you went a whole other aisle based on what you're drinking tonight. Yeah.
Well, first of all, my internet keeps saying your internet connection's unstable. It must know me. It says your internet.
I'm waiting for my internet connection to stay. It's not the internet. You are actually unstable. It is true.
So, all right. First of all, have you ever had an Aperol Spritz, Peter?
I have, yes. There's a female, an amazing woman chef in New York City. Her name is Hillary Sterling. And she makes an incredible cacio pepe. She's a brilliant chef. And
the cacio pepe. I'm sorry, you can't.
I mean, it's so authentic. And she traveled through Italy to find the best cacio pepe so that she can recreate that. So it's everything that you can imagine.
What's the restaurant called?
It's called Vix in New York City. Yeah, she's an incredible chef. She worked for. Under Batali, and we can let that go, but you know, like, but you know, she has some good startups, and she's an incredible chef, and so she cares very much about her cocktail and beer menu as well, because she's just such an authentic person, and cares that way, and that's where I first time I've ever had a spritz. In fact, I went through, and she has so many variations of the spritz on her menus. That every time I go there, I drink a spritz now, and it's thrown them off my like wine and pasta game a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. So I gave a very long answer to that question.
No, I love it. I love it. Let me come back.
Yeah.
So right now, like Angela and Eva, I'm all about like bubbles, sparkling wine, like Angela was saying. Champagne with French fries, potato chips, fried chicken, nothing, popcorn, chicken. Sushi will change your life. That all being said, currently where I would steer your cart, I'm all about skin contact. I mean, skin contact, I'm saying skin contact and then skin contact. So skin contact in the wine world is basically white wine grapes that spend some time on the skins. So the skins
Thank
are
you
what-
Thank you for the clarity on that, because there are some people that are like, does she know about the 6 feet? You know, so.
Before getting skin contact, when I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm in shower, I have an outing to go to, I shave my legs and everything tonight, like you guys are gonna see my legs, like,
David. It's the party, Sandra, if you want, we will admire and watch from afar, virtually. Like,
okay, anyway, that's ADD. So skin contact, so wine gets its color from the skins. So there is a fabulous Trousseau Gris I drink right now from Joli Lane, California. It's this gorgeous, like pale salmon color. It's so aromatic. It's super sexy. Their Trousseau Gris, Joli Lane, love, love, love. That's coming tomorrow. And then Venica and Venica Pinot.
Where did you find the Joli Lane Trousseau Gris? That's like a unicorn. It's very
Cambridge wines. Cambridge wines. Yes. So they have a little bit. So I order. That's in my case arriving tomorrow. Oh, we met Scott together. Scott Schultz. Oh yeah. We had that fabulous dinner at
And Eva and I are like, what the fuck?
That was delicious.
Why am I blanking out? What's the?
We weren't there.
Fausto? It happens with this group.
Wait, listen, one more. And then keeping with the skin contact, Venica and Venica Pinot Grigio. Have you had Venica and Venica Pinot Grigio, Eva, in Amber?
I don't think so.
Oh, fuck. She's going to go get it.
Oh.
What was happening? It was an attempt to show us.
She doesn't have any. That is a shit. I don't have any.
It's coming tomorrow. It's this copper color Pinot Grigio that will change your life. It's okay. Not like that shitty, I'm sorry, I hope no one gets mad at me. It's not that shitty Santa Margarita shit that people
drink. Fuck, does that suck? Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like, just have ice water.
But I always get offended when someone says to me, oh, what's your favorite wine? San Margarita. I almost want to choke them, you know, and not really, you know what I mean? Because I'm not a violent person at all, but I'm always just
probably always not just like, their fault.
You know, like really, you know. Well, why do you think people, why does that become a thing?
Well, I think
marketing.
Say it again.
Marketing.
I think you both said the same thing. Yeah. Yeah. It was almost, it turned into like a quiz show for a second there.
I will admit, I've been in certain occasions where I've consumed it and I don't mind it. I'm not going to say I mind it. It's just nothing interesting. It's just, I'd rather, it's like vanilla ice cream, shitty vanilla ice cream.
It's awful.
Water. Like, there's nothing.
Another problem.
What's that?
That you're overpaying for that. Media.
That's right.
Is really the problem.
How about when someone doesn't know what you all do and hits you with the San Margarita shit? Are you like, oh, cool?
Like, cool.
No, it hits you with like, what's, well, oh, yeah, I drink a lot of wine too. We like love San Margarita. Are you like,
say, oh, all right. I feel bad. I'm just not that person, right? I don't know. How are you girls?
No, I get that.
I mean, I offer suggestions of something else to try next time they walk in. Having been in retail for as long as I was in retail,
right.
And also having respect for the fact that my number one rule is if it doesn't taste good, don't put it in your mouth.
Yeah.
So, you know, if I mean, not that it's what I want, but if Bud Light tastes good to you, then you drink Bud Light, right?
Okay, I'm with you on that.
Probably try some other things, but if you have and that's what tastes good, then that's your thing.
And also with craft beer to a degree, I feel like there's some lunatics about craft beer, and I love craft beer, but I'm also cool with just drinking a Corona on a hot summer day. You know what I mean? So,
I mean, as I love really great wine and my wine palate is in one place, there's really one beer that makes me happy and it's Miller High Life. And
love that.
We never going to change.
Yeah. I would say for people that are buying beer right now, go with your, don't try anything. I mean, yes, you can try some shit, but get yourself a bunch of Miller. Get yourself a bunch of, you know, the standards that you know. Fuck, man, it's April 30th now, right? I got to go back to the liquor store and I'm looking for beer. I need some classic standards that I know are not going to fuck me April 21st, right?
I love it. Yeah. How do you say it? Negro Modelo? Negro Modelo? How do you say it?
I love it. That's my drinky beer. So Negro Modelo. We call that drinky beer.
Drinky beer.
Right. So because you could open our fridge at any time and there'd be all kinds of like weird beer in there. But, you know, that's not what you want on any given day. You want drinky beer. You know, so Miller High Life is a perfect example.
Totally.
Eva's vaunted Miller High Life is a perfect example of drinky beer.
So, my jam, I love all Brooklyn's beers. I love any Brooklyn beer.
Those are great drinky beers.
Yeah, and I feel like to me, just go buy yourself a whole bunch of Brooklyn beer and you're set. And then get yourself some Coors Light, Miller, and just so you have it. I have some Budweisers in here and that I'm at the Budweiser point. You know what I mean? Oh, where it's oh shit.
That's why cousin Paul loves his Negro Modelo. He's always got his, when you go to his house, he's got like big, beautiful tubs of chili and ice. He's got the lime sliced perfectly.
I will tell you, Angela, Paul.
I want that and a skirt steak.
I've known Paul for
herbs, olive
10
oil.
Years now. He is one of the nicest, just gentle souls I've ever met in my life. He's just such a good person. I'm just so honored to know him. So to Paul, right?
Yeah.
To Paul. Yeah. Paul, we love you, Paul.
He's like, I signed out a while ago.
Cousin.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let me ask you this question. Now, to some novices maybe that walk into this liquor store, sometimes things are listed by country, right? France, Italy, Chile, America. Where are each of you going? And whoever answers first, there's no rules here. Where are you going to country-wise first? And what are you doing when you get to that country? Okay, Eva, go first. Because you all are waiting, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to France and I'm shopping the white Burgundy and then I'm shopping the Beaujolais and then I'm gonna see what they've got from the Savoie. I like mountain wines, so then I'll head there and grab some Pet Nats or Cremants and then I'm gonna check out what's in the Germany section and get me some German Pinot Noir.
I might spend a little time in Alsace before going over to Germany.
Yeah, good spot to be.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, no, I'm going to France also.
And you're going to France too.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Before I did my deep dive into wine, growing up, I'm Italian American, and so I grew up.
Are we all Italian American?
No.
No.
Yeah. No.
Three.
Three.
No Italian here.
Marsha Brady. What is it? Because of the squares. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. All the way on this side.
Nice. Okay. So that makes sense why she's going into that section. Yeah.
Yeah. But so growing up with Italian wine and Italian cuisine, obviously, like I just always figured that when I did learn about wine, like when I did do a deep dive into wine, that I would just hang out with, you know, in Italy and like do, you know, and just be in that aisle of the store. And while I absolutely love it, dude, man, Burgundy just said, oh yeah. Okay, you think that's what you're gonna do? Yeah, you're not gonna do that. So
okay. So if you're watching this and you're going into your store and you're repacking, it's what, April 2nd or 3rd? I have no 2nd. Hey, Burgundy.
That's it. Red, white, I'm good for the rest of my life. There's like nothing else I really need except for champagne.
I was going to say if I could break the 6 feet rule with a second person, it would be Eva.
Yeah.
All right, so Sandra, what are you doing? What country are you going to? You've walked into the store and you just immediately go to?
I mean, I want to say France, but I'm going to say Italy.
I love it. I love that you said that, yeah.
Specifically three regions in Italy dance.
There you go, yeah.
Specifically, most of my certifications are in Italian wine and, you know, I started drinking, I say double digits sounds better. I say my career in wine began at the age of 10 when I had my first bicchierino di vino rosso at the dinner table with my parents when it was probably more like 4 or 5 years old, but I say the double digits so it sounds a little bit more proper. Anyway, that being said, three regions specifically in Italy. Friuli Venezia Giulia, which is northeast, is the region that juts out the most eastern in northern Italy. Just a great region for gorgeous, steely, crisp, complex, like zippy acidity, racy, sexy whites. Friuli Venezia Giulia, FYI, that Pinot Grigio I mentioned before, Venica comes from that region. Then I'm going to go to Piemonte, which is northwest Italy. It actually is right next door to France. For Nebbiolo, for Barolo Barbaresco. Have you ever had Barolo or Barbaresco,
Peter? I have not. No, I have not. Oh, you guys have. Of course, the other everyone's shaking their heads. Yes, I'm the only no.
We need to do this. We need to hang out again, and like when we can all hang out and be within 6 feet. So,
well, the third Nebbiolo person that I'm breaking the 6 feet rule is you. So, yeah. and the more you talk about Italy, you're climbing up that number. So,
yeah. So Piemonte for Nebbiolo. Nebbiolo is my favorite red grape ever. But if I don't want to spend the money for Barolo Barbaresco, then I'm traveling to the third region, Sicilia, Sicily. So are you Sicilian, Peter?
Yes, I am. Yes,
I am. You're not Sicilian. Angela, you're not. Angela, are you from Sicily? Where's your family from?
Abruzzo.
I knew that. Okay. So that's the ADD. So Sicily, I feel like for value, if you don't want to spend the money on Barolo Barbaresco, Sicily is that perfect little middle ground, I'd say, between Burgundy, France, and Piemonte. You have the Etna Rosso, the reds that are these elegant, spicy, like this gorgeous cherry and so much terroir. And it's the sweet spot for prices, like kind of like you could get something amazing from anywhere from like 30 to 50, 60. Am I right in saying that, girls, or no?
Oh, I think, yeah. And even in the 20s, you can get
exceptional. Yeah, you can get nice, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, fabulous terroir right in Sicily and also specifically that I'm loving. So Italy would be where my cart is going as I'm dancing the tarantella.
Okay, yeah, so we probably
for all those regions too.
So let me ask you this. I'm gonna take you guys out of any of the regions that you said, okay? And because we're Team USA, we have to be right.
Yes.
What we're going through, we're all, and if we're not, oh my God. So where? What in USA? What in America are you walking people to at this point? Go ahead, Angela. Yeah.
Specifically, Lingua Franca in Oregon. I love that really, really outstanding producer in the Willamette Valley, in Eola, Amity Hills in Oregon, Lingua Franca, the beautiful Chardonnays and Pinot Noirs. They're done in the French style, but very much, you know, American fruit. It's just, and they're just beautiful. So that's my, if I'm going to drink domestic, that's what I'm drinking.
I love that.
Yeah.
What you got, Eva?
Well, I am definitely going to be drinking some California wines from the Sierra Foothills, namely made by Bill Easton at Terre Rouge.
Actually, I'm ready to get down.
You should.
Winemaker
who has a passion for the wine like Angela's drinking tonight at the Northern Rhone and has really high elevation vineyards in the Sierra Foothills and is making exceptional Syrah and Rhone blends with Grenache as well as really delicious old school classic Zinfandels that are nice and dry and have lots of texture. And I also think the wines from the Old Mission Peninsula in Michigan are incredible too. So we work with Left Foot Charlie there, and they make Blaufränkisch and Riesling and Kerner and all those wonderful Alsace and German varietals that I think grow really great right there. They're lighter, more acid.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Angela. And that insane Grignolino that you've turned me on to.
And always in my cellar is a healthy stock of the Heights Cellars Grignolino, which it's said to be one and only. It's one vineyard outside of Northern Italy planted to Grignolino that was planted back in the 60s. It's one of my most favorite wines on the planet. And I think it's just something super special.
Nice.
So yeah,
I've never had that. Heights Cellars?
Yeah.
Okay. I've had Heights. I didn't even know they make a Grignolino.
The first bottle together is one of those.
Oh, I love Grignolino.
I hope everybody who's listening or watching this now is writing notes down. Write this shit down, guys. Yeah. Because you know what? Tomorrow you're going to go to the liquor store on, April 3rd? I hope. Fuck. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I lost the date, but
we'll start tomorrow.
Okay. I'm helping you get there. I'm helping you do what you got to do. Okay. I looked right at the camera too. Sandra, what about you?
I have a few. So first little, homage to New York, Finger Lakes. So one of my good buddies, who's the wine director of all the Nomads, Thomas Pasterjack, he makes some fabulous wines, coming from the Finger Lakes. Empire State, which makes crazy good Rieslings that to me, they drink like Chablis. Terrassen, Blaufränkisch, and Cab Franc, Blaufränkisch Rosé, and Cab Franc, and these cool little cans that are Vinny. So there's a sparkling white and there's a little sparkling pink cans. We actually did a few events together in New Jersey last year, and we have one coming up in June, which I have no idea if it's even going to happen. Angela at Orange Lawn. I don't know if it's, I doubt it's going to, who knows? So that's one a little, so I always like to tell people to kind of shop and support what people are doing in New York, and the wines are absolutely fabulous and they're a total steal. But in California, I'm all about so many wineries, but in particular, Massican, Dan Petrosky, who's the winemaker at Larkmead, he is crushing it with his Massican label. Jolie Lade, again, that Trousseau Brie, I was saying, Scott Schultz, I love everything they're doing. Their wines are super balanced, very food friendly, extremely food friendly. And then Ian Brand, I believe is in Monterey. So he's got this one venture called La Marea, where it's his ode to the sea in Spanish varietals. There's an Albarino that will change your life. So that's just three. There's so many more. Tribute to Grace, that's coming in tomorrow too. I could go on and on, but
I love
to see what these winemakers are doing in California. They're kind of steering away from, you know, what I used to drink, these big ass 15-16% Napa cabs that would knock you on your ass. Look, there's a time and a place for it. There is a time and a place, and
I think it's today.
It's right now. I have a cellar full of it, but it's more about like what we do, Angela, Eva. Everything we do is pairing food and wine, and like the way we were raised, the way I was raised. It's not about getting drunk, not really. It's more about.
I don't know. I saw Luigi earlier with the
class. You know, it's more about like every meal to me is a celebration. So whether it's my biscotti with Nutella, it's my bowl of popcorn, it's the cacio e pepe, it's the bragiole with gnocchi, it's what am I drinking with that? That's going to change. I always say my phrase is it's going to change your life. So I love California. A lot of what they're doing now is just about food-friendly, super-balanced wines that I feel change your life.
Okay. And now you're not chefs. None of you are chefs by any means, but...
Oh, well, we all cook.
Of course. Yeah. But, you know, what are you telling people to pair things with, the things that you're suggesting? What should I be looking for in my supermarket that has no toilet paper? What should I be looking for to pair some fun things? Maybe that's it doesn't have to be out of my range, but what is it? What am I pairing with? We'll go to Angela because Eva's got two first questions. So we're going to,
and this is all her. This is her anyway.
This is why I got into wine to begin with. Right. Because, grew up, I've been cooking since I was like, I don't know, 8. And so, I mean, like, I was, being Italian American, as you know, like we were foodies before there was a word for it.
So, exactly.
You know, that.
We didn't even know what that meant. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't even, it was just how we did. So, I got into wine because it was like a way to level up. I'd already, I'm an avid home cook. I have not cooked professionally, but growing up, like in my family, you either had a hair salon or a pizza shop, right? Like, you know, a restaurant or a hair salon. And in my, like at one point we had both. So, you know, like I grew up in that kind of small business restaurant type thing.
Yeah.
You know, like that was, I knew that, people that I have hung out with over the years, why aren't you a chef? Well, you know, at the time it was just, you know, it wasn't really something girls did. And, you know, even with that, like I saw what small business, what it really required. And I will be perfectly honest with you. I didn't have the constitution for it. You know, like you never go on vacation. There's no like that. I didn't want to do that. At least I didn't want to do it the way my family did it. So I'm rambling.
No, I'm fascinated by all of it. You're not rambling. Yeah.
So I did a deep dive into wine because that was the way I was going to elevate my cooking. So I was always, I've been throwing dinner parties since, like, seriously, I threw dinner parties as a teenager. And, you know, always like was cooking with my mom and grandma and all that. And so wine was the way, like properly pairing wine was the thing to like, just kind of get me to the next level. And I wound up like I did the ICC intensive sommelier course at downtown and got my certified and did all of that. And I wanted to know, like, I'd gotten lucky pairing wines because I speak food, right? I speak the language of flavor and what works together. So pairing was just something that was just kind of like next step. I didn't really know much about wine, but if you poured me a glass of anything, I didn't have to know what it was. Pour me something, I would taste it and be like, oh, this would be great with blah, blah, blah. You know, where, you know, like something like, well, with this, I want long braised lamb, man. I want like, you know, just like a lamb ragu, pepperdella, and maybe even, you know, kind of a dollop of like whipped goat cheese on top, maybe something like that. Like a, yeah, that's what I want. So, but anyway, so as far to answer your question, right now, it just depends, like, on what you have, right? Like,
right. Like, yeah. What do you have in the freezer?
Exactly.
From a fucking year ago. So, yeah.
Like, yeah. Right now, I have, like, shit tons of lentil soup in the fridge. And Côte de Rhône goes beautifully with lentil soup, right? So whatever it is you have. And, if you're a parent and you have fussy eaters that you're cooking for, and that's what you're having because that's what you're, you know, like, then it's like, what goes with mac and cheese, man? You know, like, honestly, I don't know. I think, like, if you're making mac and cheese for the little ones and that's where you're headed, I mean, depends on what kind of cheese you got in there, but I think an Italian white, like a vernacchia with a mac and cheese is gonna do it just right, man. Like,
yeah, throw
some herbs on yours, to add some interest to it, or, you know, throw some butternut squash in there or whatever, and, go with something from the Savoie. I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, it just depends on what you've got. You tell me what you're making, and I'll tell you what to have with it.
It's interesting, you know, because of doing the documentary series that I worked on, Her Name is Chef, about all the female chefs that struggled to get where they were going in the industry, and the challenges they had that were simply because they were female.
I have nothing but respect. That is serious, serious.
And I want Sandra's answer on that question, but in terms of working in the industry, is it a thing about being a female in your industries, or is that not a thing?
Do you want me to answer that question?
I was waiting for Eva. Looked like she was ready to go. She formulated an answer and was fucking ready.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think I guess I was raised by parents who gave me a lot of independence at a young age and put me to work at a young age. And I've always been like a very able-bodied, strong person. So I've never really been intimidated by men or thought that like I couldn't do something because I was a woman. But definitely when I moved to New York and started working in wine, I didn't think about it maybe as much in New York, but when I moved to New Jersey and started repping and selling wine and going into wine stores and restaurants and trying to meet with buyers, and which of course I have to say is what drove me to find Angela and find Sandra and find women that were working in wine in New Jersey, because it blew my mind how I couldn't find a woman to work with as a colleague or as a buyer. Really, after my first year in the business, my number one goal for year two was just to find women buyers that I could talk to and work with and have meetings with. And before, I guess I had never really thought about there being a divide that way in the industry.
I'll be honest, I'm a guy. So when I made Her Name is Chef, I walked into it with, okay, a few of them might have a story, but to know that every single one of them, and they're all amazing, incredible leaders and chefs, like to know that each one of them had some scenario in their careers where some other asshole chef said some shit, just, it literally blew me away. You know, I still think about that a lot. Angela, what about you on that?
So, if I had tried to be a chef when I was in my 20s, I would absolutely have gone through that. No question. And I definitely have had that to deal with in different, at different times in different careers. I've had many careers. I'm of a certain age. I'm older than Sandra and Eva's by a bit. So I kind of am old enough to have gone through, you know, just some nonsense in the work.
No.
But luckily, in starting in wine, there is, you know, there aren't that many of us, and I feel like we have found each other. We had a girls' night at my house one night where I think there were nine of us.
Something like that.
When I missed, right? Because of Cole's like project, his schoolwork or something.
Yeah, Sandra didn't make it that night. But we
had that cool.
Oh, and the lineup, by the way, every woman that showed up brought like just baller bottles, man. And there's something that you see a lot, like our male counterparts, our men counterparts, I should say. We'll often like post these pictures on Instagram or Facebook or whatever, you know, these like crazy baller bottles and you know, and it's kind of like a, you know, it's kind of like, all right, guys, why don't you just unzip, okay? Come on, you know, like, but that night, everybody that came to the, you know, to the party, it just brought like the shit, you know?
Yeah.
So I have a picture of the lineup and the bottles were just amazing. So anyway, there aren't that many of us, but we have definitely found each other, and there is, you know, there are absolutely wine bros, and there are even, you know, like there are like 35-year-old wine bros, and it's just like, really, guys, you know, I mean, so that is a thing, but it is not, because I think a lot of it is because I'm of a certain age. It's not something that is like, it's not a problem. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's in the business right now. I think there's so much, I think everybody's just like, you know, do you know what you're talking about? And, you know, and if you don't know what you're talking about, do you want to learn? Like
right.
That is definitely, there's a graciousness that I have found that everybody, you know, it's like people who are, the only thing that I think is like that people have a hard time with is when someone acts like they know what they're talking about and they actually don't. Like, you know what I mean? Like, but if you're like
San Margarita,
you know anything about that.
Yeah, that's the San Margarita conversation.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I love wine. I just got my white San Margarita. So, yeah. Cool.
But
cool.
The thing about that though, and that absolutely, but you have to meet people where they are, right? So if, as long as you're not like obnoxious, then everybody I know in the wine community is going to be like, oh, well, if you like that, try this. And we want you to, you know, we want to find something that you like to expand your horizons and like,
right.
Try this. No, I don't like that. Okay. All right. How about this one? You know, like, oh, okay. Yeah. No, that's good. Okay, great. So that's just, yeah. Anyway.
Sandra, what about you?
So it's funny, interesting you're saying this. I don't remember if it was December, January. I'm like in a bubble of time. November, December, I had lunch with Angela and Eva, and I had said to them, I want to join forces and plan the most badass women in wine event. That
we have to make it women, wine, and food.
Well, it was, that's the plan.
Yeah.
That was the plan. So like you know, there again, I love all the chefs I work with, male, female. I love everyone. I eat everyone's food. I think everyone's amazing.
That turned into that wedding I was talking about. You were doing that right now.
I'm still alive.
Yeah. So, yeah, everybody's wonderful, but I like.
So, but you know, I'm in a different part of the industry because I'm planning the events. I'm kind of in a bit kind of picking and choosing who I'm partnering with to do events. So it's a little bit different, but at the same time, I feel like there's more male chefs that are able to pull off these big, huge events, so fundraising events. So we went for lunch at Benito's in Union, and we drank a lot and we talked, and I said to the girls, what do you think about putting on the most badass female wine and food event, and all the proceeds are going back to the foundation of our choice? And I think you guys said yes in less than a second, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
But unfortunately, we are where we are right now today in the world. So it's going to happen. I had a location in mind and starting to do the initial steps and reaching out to a specific charity to work with, but everything just kind of happened. So it's on the back burner, but it's going to happen for sure.
One day we're all going to be allowed to be around each other.
Yes.
You know, and we will plan an amazing event together. Yeah. You know, we'll be actually at events one day again. Though it doesn't seem like anytime soon. Yeah.
I cannot really share wine and food with people, my friends, everyone again.
Yeah, I know. I can't wait to go to a restaurant.
Oh, right.
You know, I had said something to Leah. Leah was in for the event as well. She said yes in less than a second as well. So.
Oh, nice. Leah is amazing with everything she does. She's always ready to throw down and be involved. So she's just a good person. Yeah.
Can I just say one thing? And I know it's super late, but I want to just say one thing. I mean, super late. What do we got to do?
Yeah. What do you mean by that? That was like a twist for all of us.
I finished Tiger King. I'm out of excitement.
Did you like it?
What's that?
Did you like it? I finished it too.
Oh,
did you like it?
Of course. Oh my God. Of course.
I didn't see any of that. I don't know what it is. Yeah. Okay. I've seen the pictures. I'm going to try to watch it at some point, but.
Which one?
Tiger King?
Oh, I haven't seen it. Oh, wait.
Still my number one of where I'm going with on the 6 feet. Because we're not watching that show. Yeah.
Last night I started binge watching with Renee Zellweger on Netflix called What If? It's basically a glorified soap opera. It's like a glorified General Hospital. I watched 5 episodes and I can't wait to watch the other 5 tonight. This tycoon, she's a successful finance tycoon, and she propositions this couple. She said, if you let me have sex with your husband, I'm going to give you $80 million to start whatever company. And so I got
What is this show? Whoa.
No, wait a minute. That's the first time I've seen someone else take a sip. I am the only one that's drinking.
I'm drinking. I don't know if you guys know. Yeah.
You know, so I heard the premise. I'm like, I'm in. And then I watched about, first of all, Renee Zellweger, she's like super tight. She's all tight and skinny everywhere. And she's like walking around all sexy. But it's so terrible, but I can't wait to finish it. Like, I got to finish it. So that's
and she's so good in that movie where she played Judy. Well, Judy Garland.
I didn't see that. I want to see that. So what I wanted to just say, when you were saying before about like recommendations, I just want to say, like, whenever I talk to people about food and wine pairings, what we were kind of saying before, Angela and Eva, like, bubbles, when in doubt, bubbles. And it doesn't have to be champagne if you're on a budget. I mean, I love Italy. But I prefer not Prosecco. I mean, you could do a sparkling Muscadet, a sparkling Chenin Blanc. There's so many more interesting bubbles out there than Prosecco. And again, I love Italy. But so bubbles with sushi, with popcorn, with anything fried, with oysters, with cheese. Even I wouldn't necessarily have a ribeye with bubbles, but like a sliced up, like nice skirt steak or something like with like herbs and olive oil and sea salt. Like, there's so much bubbles work because they cleanse the palate. They're just like, bubbles for me are the ultimate food pairing wine. If not bubbles, rosé. Rosé has a bad rap. A lot of people, it used to have a bad rap. Most people, like a lot of guys are like, oh, I can't drink rosé. I mean, there's so many fabulous dry rosés out there. And you girls both, Eva, I just emailed you about a rosé that I love, that Jockey Hollow pours by the glass, that I'm going to use the phrase, will change your life. It's so fabulous. So like, for me, rosé, if you don't want that full effect of a full-blown red wine and you just want to bump it, you know, take it down a couple notches, but you want this freshness, super light, crisp, I think rosé is I drink rosé 365 days out of the year. I think it's bullshit, that misconception that rosé is just your summer wine. Hell no. I actually bring a bottle of rosé in bed with me most nights. And I drink it with What If.
And in the Netflix. late edition of the show, she's going to show you what that's like.
That's the not rated version of this show.
Yeah.
And my last one would be Beaujolais. Beaujolais, for me, is the ultimate food pairing red. Like, it's just, it's again, Beaujolais may have a bad rap with most people because they think of that Beaujolais that comes out the third Thursday in November. That's just, oh, you have a Beaujolais there. Beaujolais is just.
I have a magnum of Beaujolais. I didn't open it because there's a lot of
magnum. That's fabulous. I had that. Cambridge gave that to me to taste. Fabulous. So Beaujolais is made with the Gamay grape. It's Gamay is one of the most food-friendly food pairing wines there is. And it's like crunchy, it's crisp, it's fresh, it's fruity. It's juicy. Not this banana peely, tutti-frutti, bubblegummy, juicy ripeness. And it's just like such an awesome food pairing wine. Anyway, that's it. That's all I have to say.
No, that was wonderful.
That's all I have to say.
Yeah. All right. Look, I think we've given some people a lot of great advice, but I'm going to ask you guys specifically. They go to the liquor store and they're looking for one thing, just one thing. What is the one thing you're going to recommend for them to pick up tomorrow? Eva, you're a safety now. You're a good first. Yeah.
Well, again, I think that's difficult just because everyone's palate's so different. But I think to try something new and different, I think give Chenin Blanc a try. Like white with a little more body, a little, I can't say lower acidity, but just like a little bit rounder palate, really kind of honeyed and pretty, but still gives drinkers that like a heartier white, more body, but still gives everybody that crisp cleansing acidity. And I think it can pair with a variety of things. And just is just a beautiful grape to try if you haven't tried it.
Yeah. Angela, what you got?
The
one thing.
What's that?
The one thing that we're
one thing. Okay. Man, can I ask clarifying questions of the person first? You know what I mean?
Of like, yes.
I don't want to tell somebody.
It's more about your one thing, I think.
Okay, so my one thing is still going to be champagne, right?
I love that. I do love that. Yeah.
It's really I'm feeling champagne right now. I've got a little champagne nostalgia going on. I haven't had any in a little bit. I haven't been out of the house in a little bit. So
now, is it because the only thing you had was champagne when you were like, "Fuck, I have in this place is champagne," or was it because you're really into it?
Oh no, I really am into it. And so, there's a producer, a champagne producer, Saint-Chamond. Right. And the guy who made the wine, the Monsieur Coquette, who made the wine at Saint-Chamond, was he had to be about 90, but he just recently passed from COVID-19. Oh. So it like the wines that he makes are absolutely brilliant. And he was just this lovely, super energetic, just wonderful man who made these wines his way. He's been making wine since he was a teenager at his house, and everything like they organic, and he was a Chardonnay guy, and just made them the way he wanted to make them, extended lees aging. And so if you had a 2008 right now, if you could get the 2008 Saint-Chamond, like that was on the lees for 11 years, and I'm going crazy into getting into too much geeky stuff right now, but just rich and beautiful and crisp and refreshing and complex and just special. So I, you know, if I had a bottle right now, I would be raising a glass to Monsieur Coquette and just thanking him
for all of the
beautiful. Yeah. Thank you for the bubbles, Monsieur.
I love what Sandra's drinking.
Yes.
Right now, it's just like a little bit of water. Right.
I think she even has a straw.
Did you see my matching straw?
I did.
I got like orange. Yeah.
What do you got? You're walking into the store. One thing, Sandra.
Well, so it's less about me. It's more for people. If I could tell, you know, someone tomorrow what you should go in the store and get, I would love to say what Angela said, because that I'm all, every for me, bubbles are always the answer. But I know 1/1000th of what she knows when it comes to champagne and bubbles. So I'm going to say, I highly recommend people trying Trousseau Gris. And I know I talked about it before with Jolie Lade, but Trousseau Gris is a varietal that's virtually extinct. It's grown primarily in France, but I believe, don't quote me, 1000%, but I believe there's literally only one vineyard site in America that grows Trousseau Gris, and it's in Sonoma. And Jolie Lade, this particular producer I'm talking about, that's where they source their grapes from. It's just such an interesting varietal. It's so aromatic. It's got this gorgeous color. It kind of, I was introduced to it from a master sommelier a few years ago, Dustin Wilson, a good buddy of mine. And I remember the first sip I had, I'm like, holy fucking shit, what is this? And I need this in my life. So Jolie Lade's one producer that I love, but there's a ton. I actually just, John Livingston, I reached out to him last night, girls. I'm like, I need to try Root Downs, Rosé, Trousseau Rosé, Rosé. I just think it's an interesting varietal that most people don't know about. So I'm going to choose that because I don't want to say bubbles, even though I really want to say champagne.
That's cool. All right. I'm going to give you a question from the audience. Not many. I want a recommendation for a good dry rosé.
A recommendation for a good dry rosé. Oh gosh, there's so many. Okay. Well, I love Yves Rosé, which is made from Beaujolais, which is made from the Gamay grape. It's from the Beaujolais region that I was saying before. So Yves, say what the, you take
it
over.
It's made by Terre Vivante. It's a Gamay Rosé from very old vines, made on a amazing little estate where they, I mean, everything's done biodynamically. They also farm wheat. They mill the wheat. She bakes bread and sells bread from the winery as well. Very special little winery. And that will be in stock in New Jersey towards the end of May.
Nice.
And it's so, it's priced so insanely. What is it like?
It's around 20-ish a bottle.
It's 20. It's, I mean, still, it's so, so amazing. The other one, my buddies at Vera, Gabe and Andrew at Vera, they have a great rosé. It's biodynamic and organic from Lombardia, which right now, Lombardia, we're thinking of you. Cascina Belmonte, several grapes I'm blanking right now. I think it's Barbera, Marzamino. Shit, I can't remember them all off the top of my head. The Aperol, told you I'm a lightweight. So Cascina Belmonte rosé is fabulous. I know Cambridge has that. I also love, why am I blanking out right now? Oh, what I've been drinking here daily, because I found it in the store for half the price. I want to say to them, what the fuck are you guys thinking? But I don't. I grabbed it. Oh, that's my toilet paper. The Withers Rose.
I love that.
No, I don't mean it's my toilet paper, but
like, I know what you mean. We all need that right now. Yeah. I don't really understand why that's a thing, but okay.
She wipes her ass with that rosé.
Okay. People are stocking up on toilet paper. I see the Withers Rosé. It's out of California. It's Grenache, Mourvèdre, Syrah. I grabbed a ton of it. It's half the price. It's like a $25 rosé. They're charging $12.99 at a store up the street. I'm like,
oh my God.
But there's so many. Oh, Terrasson. Terrasson is my buddy, Thomas Pasterjack from the Finger Lakes. That's Blaufränkisch Rosé. Oh my gosh. And I believe that got rated the number one Thanksgiving wine. Was it? I forgot, was it New York Times, Wall Street Journal, one of those. So good. Again, one of those rosés you could drink all year round. All these rosés are dry. Rosé has this misconception. People are thinking back to the days. What are the days? You know the days.
You know the days? We can all hang out. Yeah.
No, what are the days where, like, with the sweet, what's that called, that sweet?
White Zin.
Oh, Sutter Home. Sutter Home, baby. That's when I need, like, a cigar. Sutter Home, baby.
I would not drink that with your mouth.
I don't know. That's when I drink the High Life.
Look, guys, I think we gave some really great advice to people that are watching this tonight. I've been doing this thing where I give some gratitude to everybody that I meet and at the end of my day. So I just want to thank the three of you for this incredible opportunity to chat with you and get to know you. I've never met you, but I immediately put you as 1, 2, and 3 as people I'd like to break the rule with. Sandra, I can't wait. We're going to do so many amazing things together.
I can't wait to toast you in person.
Same. But Sandra, we're going to do some good stuff. And I'm really excited that I got to meet you and know you and do this thing. So check out their tips and their advice. And this was great, guys. And thank you for doing this as well.
Thank you so much, Pete. This was a great pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely. So until next time, go ahead. You got something, Sandra? I see you got something.
I always have something to say.
Thank you,
Angela, Eva. So when you reached out to me, I texted my girls. And again, less than 15, 20 seconds, they're like, sounds fun, we're in. So they're the best. I love you girls. We were actually supposed to be together next Monday for a Magnum party at Heirloom Kitchen, but obviously that's canceled. So I look forward to
one day when we're all out of our jails, we will allow ourselves to hang out and have a drink or some food or something. We very much look forward to all of that.
Well, I love you girls, Peter. It's a pleasure meeting you, Peter. You're the best. You got a great personality.
Thank you.
I think we should cheers to DJ Paul Anthony one more time. Paul Anthony.
Yeah. Paul Anthony Entertainment. Go check
Paul Anthony Entertainment. Love you all. Cheers. Be safe. Drink a lot of wine. I believe it sanitizes our insides.
All right. Awesome, guys. Thank you so much.